I invite you to turn with me now in your copies of God's Word to 2 Thessalonians. This morning, we'll be looking at the final three verses of this letter to the Thessalonian church. Again, we'll be looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. And if you're using your pew Bibles, you can find this on page 1261. Again, this is Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Hear now the living word of God. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. May the Lord bless the reading and now also the preaching of his word. There are many situations in life which can rob us of peace, of contentment. Maybe it's an uncertainty about work. Maybe it's an uncertainty about our home life. Maybe it's an uncertainty about a diagnosis of health. All these various ways, and that's just a few, that can cause anxiety and worry in our life are circumstances which can rob us of the peace that we can have in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, is this idea of peace that we can have. And really two foundation stones of our peace as children of God. All coming from our Lord of peace, as he's called, and his grace that he shows us. So the application I want us to take home is a reminder that we can have peace in all circumstances, not just a few circumstances, but in all circumstances of life. We can have peace, for the Lord of peace and his grace is with you and with me. So again, have peace in all circumstances, for the Lord of peace and his grace is with you. So first of all, looking at verse 16, in all circumstances have peace, for the Lord of peace grants you peace. We read in verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Now, just a reminder, as Paul, in his letters, when he refers to the Lord, is referring to Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of peace. Now, when you put this letter with the closing of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, there, he says, now may the God of peace. So as you take these two letters together, again, Paul is emphasizing the fact, really in two ways, that Jesus Christ is in fact the eternal God, the eternal Son of God. First of all, in equating the two phrases, God of peace with the Lord of peace, and Lord referring to Jesus Christ, but also as a reminder, when we see the word Lord here in the New Testament, it's not simply that Jesus Christ is our superior, and that he's our governor, he's our Lord, he is these things, but it's a reference back to the Lord of the Old Testament, to the Lord Yahweh, that covenant-keeping God who called his people, who delivered his people, who watched over them and was their shepherd. Jesus Christ is being equated with the God of the Old Testament. He is the Lord of peace. Now, in Paul's first letter, when he says, now may the God of peace be with you, or himself sanctify you, he deals with the work of God in sanctifying his people. Here, he is calling upon the Lord of peace to give his people peace. And this peace that we consider here, this peace of God, is by the Lord himself given to us. Now, we might think about peace in a few different ways. Maybe it's a way that we can somehow convince ourselves that everything's okay, despite the circumstances that might be mounting up against us and the various callings of our life. We can easily convince ourselves, well, this is fine, this is okay, and we can deceive ourselves to a certain degree. This isn't a peace that comes from within us, that we conjure up within ourselves. It is given to us. It is a peace that is outside of us, that is given to us as the people of God by the Lord himself. And it's not just a feeling of peace, a feeling of contentment, but it also refers to a proclamation that the Lord makes for us. I've referred to this passage before, and I want to remind you of it again and refer to it again in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, when our Lord Jesus was born, and the host of heaven, again, that army of heaven, not a choir of heaven, an army of heaven appearing to the shepherds, proclaiming peace. Proclaiming peace to the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of peace. God is the God of peace. It is his to give. And where we were once enemies, the Lord in his grace and his mercy has instead proclaimed peace to his people. Now, why focus on this concept of peace being a proclamation? Well, peace being a proclamation that God makes to his people is one of the foundation stones of the internal peace and the contentment that we can have as his people. If God does not proclaim and make that declaration, we would still be at odds before God. That declaration that our God makes is the pronouncement of this Messiah that I have prophesied of, this Christ that I have promised, this means of redemption and salvation has now been born. And I declare to this world peace. Now, this declaration then is the means by which we have peace. Because through the work of Christ, the coming of the Anointed One, the coming of the Messiah, through his life of obedience to the point of death on the cross, his defeat of sin and death and wickedness, his being raised from the dead and ascending on high at the right hand of his Father, that is the source of our peace. And it all begins with that proclamation, that declaration on the night that he was born. And so as you face various obstacles in life, we have people here in various circumstances. We have those who are advanced in years facing health problems and difficulties and struggles. We have those among us who are in need of work or employment. There are others among us who are facing various life struggles and circumstances. There are those who are desiring to have a particular young child remain permanently in their home. These are all circumstances which have caused us great anxiety and worry. It can rob us of the peace we have in Jesus Christ. You know, those circumstances that I made and mentioned, and the whole host of others, illnesses, diagnoses, struggling and recovering in various ways, family members who may be turning from the Lord that we watch and we can't do anything about. All these things, these circumstances, can rob us of the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, what I want to remind you of is the fact that we have this proclamation. Our God is a God who, when he declares something, when he says something, he keeps it. He doesn't waver. He always does what he says. And when he proclaims to his people, there is peace between us. You are no longer my enemies. You are now my children. And in Jesus Christ, You are perfect and righteous in my eyes. Nothing can take away that proclamation of peace. Our feeling of peace and contentment can waver. It can fluctuate. But it will never change the reality of the peace that God has declared between us. And when we have those moments of anxiety, of worry, in the various circumstances of life, let us turn and remember Luke chapter 4, or 2, verse 14. That declaration and that proclamation of peace. Remember that our God is the God of peace. He is the Lord of peace. Now, in that title, when you consider just that title, what it's showing us is that peace is something that God owns and He rules, and He can give it as He pleases. He is the Lord of peace. He is the God of peace. And Paul doesn't end there, that in addition to that fact that our Lord of peace Himself has given us peace, he ends this verse by saying, "The Lord be with you all." This Lord of peace, this Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. Remember Matthew 28, verse 20. The final words that Matthew records of Jesus to his disciples is that, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It's reminding the Thessalonians of that wonderful promise that our Lord made. It's not just that, "May the Lord Jesus Christ be with you," but it's also, "The Lord Jesus Christ is with you." He will never leave. He will never forsake us. And this isn't just for a few select people. He says, "With you all." Now, remember, Paul has just very harshly challenged some of those who were remaining in their lives of sin and not repenting and not returning from it. And he called the brothers and sisters of that church to discipline those who were still walking in their sinful lives. But he calls them, both the beginning of that section and at the end, to remember that these are still brothers. And so when he closes his letter, he says, "May the Lord be with you all." It's also an encouragement to those that he has just admonished and chastised in his letter, that they are still brothers and the Lord is with them. And the Lord will be with them and help them through and overcome the sin that ensnares them and that they struggle with. In all circumstances, brothers and sisters, even in those times where we are struggling with sin, the Lord of peace is with us. And his declaration to us will not change. And if we are in sin, he calls us to repent so that we may have again that peace that he freely gives us. But in all the other circumstances that may cause us worry and anxiety, that may turn our eyes off of him, he calls us to remember that we have been given peace. The dividing wall between us and God has been removed in Christ. We are no longer his enemies, but we are his children. And we, brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so remember, dear friends, that in all circumstances, the peace of the Lord has been given to us. This brings us to the second portion of this text this morning. In all circumstances, have peace, for the grace of the Lord Jesus is with you. In verse 17, Paul says, "I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Now, why would Paul emphasize this as he's closing? Well, a couple things to keep in mind. Many of the writers here in the New Testament would dictate what they were wanted written. And there was a man there writing what the apostle was saying. And we see this in other letters referred to. Some of those who were used to physically write the letters were named. But that was a common practice of teachers that would send letters, they would dictate it, somebody else would write it. But at the end of those letters, they would then take the pen in their own hand and write the final greeting. Now, in our day and age, when we write things, you know, we always sign it. You know, love so-and-so, or sincerely this, or in Christ, you know, so-and-so. We sign our letters to show their authenticity and who they're from. Now, as people in this day and age would have received this letter, they would have been reading through it, and then it would have been very clear. The penmanship, the handwriting, would have suddenly changed. As you go from one person in their style of writing to then this completely different style of writing in the shape of their letters and how they write. Our handwriting is very, very unique. The people who would have read this letter would have seen it, that this is here Paul. If other letters were passed around, they would be able to compare one letter from Paul to another and see the greeting at the end of each letter and see how that those words, those letters, and their style match. This is the same man. But Paul here, he could have just written the final greeting, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you," and they would have seen that. But here, as this letter is being read, if we think back to chapter 2, verse 2, where there was apparently some false letters that have been sent to this church claiming to be from the Apostle Paul. He has it read aloud very clearly so the congregation can hear that I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. And then they could look at it and they could see and they could attest to it. Paul sent this letter. It is from him. And he signs all of his letters this way. Now, when he says that, he could be simply referring to his handwriting, that he has the practice of taking the pen and writing the final words so that people could see that this is from Paul. But we also see that as Paul says, "It is the way I write," and then he ends, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you," that phrase, the Apostle Paul, in all of his letters, ends with the word of praying that the grace of God would be with those that he is writing to. Either the grace of God or the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, or simply the shortest version being, "And grace be with you." Paul always finishes his letters this way. And if you look at the other letters from the other apostles, they finish in a different way. They don't use that same phrase. But we see in all of Paul's letter that same phrase, "the grace of our Lord," or "grace being with us." And we could look at that as just as a formulaic thing of, as we write sincerely or love at the end of our letters, just a way to sign off. But it's more than that. It's more than that with the Apostle Paul. It is a prayer that this would be the case, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with the people that he is writing to. And as we 2,000 years later read these letters as letters preserved and written to us through the Holy Spirit by his servants, we see this is also a desire of God for us, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with us. Now, as we consider that phrase, to me it strikes me as a little unusual. The grace of God being with us. We can, you know, Paul said just in verse 16, "May the Lord be with you." That to me makes a little bit more sense because the Lord is a person. May the Lord be with you. But may grace be with you. What does it mean for something to be with someone? You might see pictures from time to time of a couple standing arm in arm next to each other, and they've got shirts. They might say, "I'm with," fill in the blank, and it's got an arrow pointed to the other person. Or maybe you're going someplace new with a friend, and you might be mingling and talking to people, and they ask, "Oh, you know, where are you from, or who do you know?" It's like, "Oh, I'm with so-and-so." Or maybe your friend goes and introduces you to someone, says, "Oh yeah, this person's with me." Or maybe you're ordering something. Maybe it's your favorite hamburger restaurant, and the person you're ordering from says, "Would you like fries with that?" The word "with" there. In these various situations, it shows us that it's a word that means a connectedness. There is a connection there. There is a unity that is present. Someone that you don't know is introduced, and they're friends of someone that you do know and respect and love. You immediately view them in a positive light versus if someone that you don't respect and have issues with comes and introduces you, you immediately begin to question this person. Like, well, if they're friends with that person. There's an intimacy there. Paul is calling and praying that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with us. It's a reminder, brothers and sisters, that the Lord is with us, but His grace is also with us. That God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, has poured out His grace upon us to such an extent that it is with us. We have God's grace. We possess the grace of God as something that He is doing to us and for us. What has God done for us? What is the example of the grace of God being with us? Is it not the work of our Lord Jesus Christ? His coming and taking on human flesh and a human soul. This God-man living a perfect life of obedience for us. His dying upon the cross. His suffering that humiliation and shame. His raising from the dead. And His ascending on high, where He continues to rule and to govern us. What has God done for us? He has sent His only Son, but not only that, He has given us His grace that we might, through faith, believe in this Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the grace of God is with you. It is with you. And so, brothers and sisters, Paul ends his letters with this word of encouragement to his readers. It's a reminder that despite all that he has talked about, and he deals with difficult things in his letters, calling people out in various ways, but it's a reminder as he ends that the grace of God is with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is another foundation stone of our peace. As the various circumstances and of life might deviate and remove the peace that we have in Christ, let us not only stop and remember that declaration of peace that God has made between us and Him, but let us also stop and remember the grace that the Lord has shown us. The grace that He has given us. The grace that is with us. And so, brothers and sisters, as we consider these verses this morning, as Paul in his own hand writes this final greeting, it's a reminder that we can have peace in all circumstances of life. Not just a few circumstances. And when we're in the midst of those hardships, those times where where our faith is tested, it may be difficult to maintain and to hold on to that peace, but let us remember, as Paul calls us to remember, that this peace is from Him, from God, from the Lord of peace. It is a declaration that He has made, that He has sent His Son, and He accomplished our salvation. But also let us remember the grace that is with us, that He freely gives us. And when our peace begins to fluctuate, begins to fall away, let us just stop and prayerfully remember and consider these promises that God has made to us today. He has given us His peace, and He has given us His grace. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we and our God and Father, Holy Spirit, we thank You for the word that You have given to us today, and we pray that You would maintain the peace that we have in You this peace that you have proclaimed and this peace that you have given to us. May you grant it to us, Lord, as we become anxious and worrisome in the various circumstances of life. But may we also, Lord, remember the grace that has been poured out upon us in Jesus Christ. May we remember this grace that has been given to us, this faith that we can have in Christ only by the grace that you have given. May we remember these things, Lord, and remember what you have done for us. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.